This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
You know, I just want to bring to our attention this morning a few things. We will be celebrating on September 29th. It's a Saturday evening at 6 p.m. And we'll be celebrating together as a body, going into our finishing our 40th year of ministry. Amen. Amen. 40 years. Come on. All right. And I just want to encourage you that that's going to be a very significant night. And then the next day, going into Sunday, it's going to be, we're not trying to pull an all-nighter. If the Lord wants us to, I'm here. Come on. All right, three amens. Now, come on, you remember the day you used to pull an all-nighter for the enemy? Come on. Well, you would stay out till 4 or 5:30 in the morning and get up for work at 7. We're going to press forward that night. The Lord is going to meet us here. I believe this. I believe that a season's right before us, and everyone that will come will walk into a new season that the Lord has. Corporately, but also individually. And so how the Lord has set up that night, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be mighty. We have people that will be here with us, people from the past. We have three local pastors that are going to speak into this fellowship. Kind of shows the unity of our church that three local pastors from the same area have the desire to come speak into us because they know that this church is very powerful in leading in our community. And so not only that, we'll have some other people here. So come and be prepared. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to praise Him. We're going to see Him move mightily. One of those old style, just come on. Amen. You know, do you remember when you were dead? Sometimes we have to come to some of our remembrance of what I was before Christ. You know, when I didn't have any communication with God, no love for God. Sometimes it's hard for us to get back to those days and imagine when I was dead, when my spirit was completely dead, had no desire for God, had no gratitude for God, no fear of God. You know, I don't know about you, but those days kind of haunt me. When I was spiritually dead. And you know, we can look and we've looked a lot at the story of Lazarus. You know, after 4 days of being dead, boy, his body stunk. Man, being spiritually dead, I stunk. I was dirty. I was filthy. You hear testimonies of coming up and people saying that I hadn't even taken a bath in over a month because I was so filthy. The world just gripped me and overtook me. Remember that? Do you ever think about that when we walk out into our workplace, when we walk into the Walmarts, of so many people around us that are just spiritually dead? That they don't have a care in the world about what God thinks, what He doesn't think, if He even's there or not. You know, I know this, that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And that the Lord has came to give us life, come on, and life more abundantly. I'm so thankful what God has done in my life, how He came in and He again blew breath into my life. And I'll never forget that one day when everything changed. You know, and on that one day, I came and brought my filthiness. Are you with me today? And I repented, and I had a change of mindset, and I turned from that stuff. Some of it tried to latch on to me. Some of it was a little more difficult to get rid of, but there was power there. And there was power walking away from that to deal with anything and everything that's been in my life. So, you know, for me, that was many years ago. I got saved as a young boy. I preached my first message at the age of 8. Man, I was scared to death. I think about this quite a bit because I walk into a world all the time and people are dead. And I know that I have to have more than just my words. I know I have to have more than just a hope in doing something that day. I know that when we walk into places like the prison, like Pastor Rudy and them go in, we have to have more than just a feeling. We have to have more than just, I'm here. Spiritually dead. You know, I'll never forget when Christ came into my life and he changed everything. And today he's still very active in my life, continuing to change me. I will remain because I meet Christ daily. I will remain thirsty and hungry. Now we do know that the word says that many will grow cold. Many hearts will grow cold. I want to make sure that I'm preparing to meet God daily, to meet him in worship, amen, to meet him in my word, to meet him in devotion, and to root out those things that are in my life, like unforgiveness, bitterness, those things that we can continue to hold on to as Christians. The Lord is here today. He's here to continue to renew us. I want to bring some thoughts back to my family. And I'll never forget, my dad actually got saved because my mom was saved. And at that point, it wasn't my mom and dad. My dad pursued to date this young lady. And she looked at him, praise the Lord, for a godly woman. And she said, "You will not touch me. You will never kiss me. You will never do anything to me until you walk down that aisle and meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." Are those women still, are those young ladies still around today? Are they still around? Because, boy, that had an impact in my life, future. It had an impact in my dad. My dad said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it." But it was continually in his heart what this beautiful lady, the Lord can use anything, amen? And what she stood for and how different she was than the other ladies. And he found himself walking down an aisle of a Baptist church, repenting and changing. Found himself then marrying her at a very young age. Found themselves in a Baptist church. Praise the Lord for Baptist churches. Come on. Boy, just a few clap there, you know? What do we have, the Baptist on this side, the Catholic on this side? I don't know. None of you clapped over there. Praise the Lord. Was in a Baptist church. My dad was a deacon in the Baptist church. And he had this thing with a pastor. He says, "I'll be a deacon and I'll serve and I'll do everything that I can, but never call me up to pray." That's what he would say. Until one time the pastor looked in the back, him standing there, and he said, "I think that, you know," Kenny's back there, so he's knowing what I'm saying here. Praise the Lord, Kenny. I love you, brother. Called a man in the back, called a deacon to come up and see. In the Baptist church, you used to have to walk up and come up and pray. And my dad said he was so mad when the pastor called him up. But he saw his feet and he felt his feet just start walking by themselves. And he said, "I didn't want them to walk. I was begging them not to walk, but I found myself right there." I say that because I want to just bring something to you today. My mom and dad were very mighty in God's kingdom. Amen. But for many, many years, very hesitant to even pray in front of a group of people. And there was a hunger and thirst in my dad's life and my mom's life that they were not content where they were. See, to be honest with you, I'm not content where I'm at today. There's too many people around me that don't know Jesus. There's too many people around us that don't know him. I'm not content. I'm not content with Church Living Waters. I'll never be content. Come on. I'm not looking to fill seats, although we should. I'm content, and I'll be content that day that Jesus comes back. And until that day comes, I believe and I'm praying with all of my might that this church will be a church that will remain faithful until that day. Amen. That's pending on us. Amen? But I want to bring to the attention of seeing a complete change in my mom and dad's life. When I say complete change, I mean night and day change. I mean, completely changed. They were Christian, yes. They loved God, yes. We had prayer meetings at our house. We had small groups. We did many, many things. I'll never forget a night that my mom was praying on an altar. We were a family that had an altar in our front room. We didn't have a eating table. We had an altar. I'll never forget my mom praying, just seeking God, saying, God, I need you. God, I want more. And right in the living room of our house, just amongst a few people, my mom received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As a kid, I was probably 4 years old. I heard and I felt the whole house shake. And I knew at that point, now we're going somewhere that we've never been before. I mean, something's fixing to change, because now we've stepped into something. As a little kid, I knew that. See, for now years, they had been saved. They had been pressing forward. They've been ministering. They've been doing things. But something happened one night because of a hunger and thirst that changed everything. Just a few weeks later, my dad received the same baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing, because they started teaching us as children what this is. But this is what I saw as a four-year-old kid. Everything's changed. Within the next 2 weeks, they were selling our house. They were selling everything that we had. I'm like, man, Dad, you are all in now. You know, just the feeling of what we're going to do, but a trusting and knowing that something just happened. And I'm saying that I'll never forget the change, and never saw anything different in my life in their entire life but that change one night that did something in their life to create in them a complete change in the ministry. Are you with me today? Boldness that came on them. My dad went into a small church right after that, a Baptist church. Full speaking in tongues, going into a Baptist church, preaching. And the Baptist church voted 4-4 and 3 against. So when he started the church, he had 3 on this side and 4 on that side. 4 was for him, 3 was already casting things at him, throwing stuff at him. But none of that mattered, because of the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. Come on. And knowing and indwelling on the inside of what God was calling them to do, and fully being equipped to do it, because the same Spirit that lived on the inside of them is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I saw in that time an entire city. Look to your neighbor and say, entire. An entire city come to Jesus Christ. Was it because of man and woman? Oh, not really. But it was because a man and woman yielded unto the Lord and received something, a gift from him that brought fire, that brought power. You know, if I can think back of anything that where we are as a church, or where we are as a people in this hour, where I know that Christ is coming back very soon, it seems to me that churches amongst us, around us, lack power. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. The same power that we look in the books of the Gospels and we saw so many times, not only Jesus, but then his disciples after they received this, casting out demons, healing the sick. I had a little young one come to me today, a little girl, right when I walked in. And she said, I need to talk to you, Pastor. And I said, okay. She said, no, can we go into the office? And this is what she said. She said, you see my hands? They're going to heal people. This is then what she said, and it's not because of me. It's because of God. Come on. Where are those young ones now again? Where's that power that she's speaking about that she believes? She believes with all that she has what God has spoken to her on the inside. And I said, well, honey, are you praying for people? She looked at me and she said, everyone I can. I'm laying hands on them. With her faith, what do you believe is happening to people? Because there is a power. God just uses us, and he just uses our hands, because Paul's hands are no longer here. Because Peter's hands are no longer here. Because Dr. Gene Frank's hands are no longer here. But our hands are here. Can we come as this little one and say, God has demonstrated and he's given to me the power to heal the sick in and through me. You know, I'm here this morning to speak just a few moments about the power of God and how he wants to use each and one of us to be witnesses. You know, if you have your Bibles, let's look, and you've heard this, and we go over this scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The word's just clear. I've been preaching this the last couple of months. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yes. Who should we be? We should be witnesses. Praise the Lord. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. And you shall be witnesses to me. And like I preached not too long ago, Jerusalem, that's just within. Judea is kind of on the outside. Samaria is a little farther. All the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. We can look at it like 2 Timothy says, to find faithful men. That's where I can start. I can find a faithful man and I can be a witness to him. And then trust that he's going to find another man to be a witness to. Come on. It's called discipleship. Let me tell you something. I don't have to, because I've received this and I have the power living on the inside of me. I don't have to really go out. I get the opportunity to, but I don't have to really go out, and I don't even have to use my mouth. Praise the Lord, I can and I do, but I can go somewheres and people know the Spirit of God is there. Maybe they don't recognize it as God, but they recognize it as something different. Amen. Come on. Amen. And I'm thankful for that, because, see, we need more than just words. We need his Spirit. We need his power to back everything that we're going to do. Come on. We need his authority. We have his authority as a Christian, but we need his anointing. That's going to crack and that's going to break the yoke. I have the opportunity right now. And praise the Lord, I preach every day, it seems like. The Lord just has thrusted me out there. Been preaching a lot in a prison. You know, 50 guys, 42 of them are murderers. Many of them are coming to the Lord. See, it's not by my words they're going to come to the Lord. It's not by my preach that they're going to come to the Lord. Yes, it's the word that comes out, that comes forth. But it's going to be the word that's wrapped with his power. Come on. With his anointing, that's going to break in and break through. I'm not someone that yells. I'm not someone that shakes. I'm not someone that pushes someone down. I'm someone that has the power of God living on the inside of me. These same guys will say, come to me and I just need to tell you this. I need to accept Jesus. I had a dream last night that you were standing over me and you were watching everything that I was doing. And I was so ashamed of myself. See how they're not seeing God, but they're seeing God living on the inside of me and they're seeing me. Do you hear that? No, I'm not God. I'm not saying that I am. But now I've been thrusted in a place where the power of God's there and they're recognizing that something's different. Are you with me today? Praise the Lord for to be a witness. We all have the opportunity to be a witness. And I'm so thankful that in this body, many people are witnesses. Praise the Lord, like Mimi and Ismo. They never have to, they do, praise the Lord, they get the opportunity to, but they never have to go out and even use their voice. Because a lot of the town knows them for what they used to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? And now there's something on the inside of them, the power of God, the Holy Spirit that leads and guides them. They get to prophesy. They get to share testimony. They get to be a witness like that. But if something took their tongue and they could never speak again, they would be witnesses from Most High. Amen. Why? Because of a radically changed, transformed life. They're not the same. I'm not the same. If I'm going out there and I'm just using my mouth and I'm going back and I'm doing things like I used to do, it's doing nothing. And people know it. People can recognize. They'll recognize the power that's coming behind words. Come on. They're going to recognize it. And they're either going to run from it or they're going to be drawn to it. But just words, words are going to be words. People will come all the time if it's just words, and they'll argue with words, but they're not going to argue with the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. They're going to take a step back from that. Are you with me today? The function of witnesses is to give testimony, to testify. Come on. I'll never forget going in a trial and hearing witnesses come. A witness that's going to testify usually what they see. Come on, what they've experienced or what they have to determine what sentence, if any, the accused is to serve. Notice that Jesus said that we would be his witnesses after the Holy Ghost comes upon us. And this testimony would be a weapon to overcome Satan with. Praise the Lord for the weapon of our testimony. Let me go back now, using my mom and dad. If you're in the Word, we have great examples of the ones that Jesus chose. And praise the Lord, that wasn't me choosing, because I would have probably picked the wrong ones. Jesus just goes and says, come, follow me. And a lot was put on them. Are you going to follow him? Are you going to drop your stuff and come? But he chose. And we see that while he walked on the earth, they followed him. But so many times when they were walking with him, they had many doubts. They had many thoughts, many things like, this isn't the way. No, that's not what I would have done. No. They have a whole crowd, and we're drawing a crowd, and we're going out, and you're telling people to not tell anybody. See, we want to tell people. We want the crowd to come. And you're standing in front of people, and you're talking about drinking your blood. Can you think of the natural realm there? Jesus, nobody wants to drink your blood. We're trying to bring people in. The natural mind that these guys lived in, so much to even the night before he dies on a cross, them gathering, hearing what some of them would do, and saying, no way. But then walking right in that denial. Only one was there to see Christ crucified. And to hear that he was crucified, he told them that he would come and live again. But to hear that from a woman, women that went there, praise the Lord for the women. Come on, guys, you're not thanking the Lord for women, a woman? Some of you are going to get it. Those that find a wife, come on. Those that find a wife, find what? The women are saying it. Okay, women, I'm going to talk to the men 10 minutes after church. We have to hear it. But we see something radically changed in their life. Yes? Are you with me? And every one of those men that denied him, that said, is he really the one? Every one of them are going to receive something, and their lives are going to be completely changed, and every one of them are going to die for Christ. We're not just saying, you know, dying of old age. Every one of them died a death because of them proclaiming the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you know, I have to go. I'm going to go. After they knew that he resurrected, I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to be an advocate for you. I'm going to stand for you. But someone's coming. Come on. Do you know that someone? Yes, it's God. Yes, it's Holy Spirit. Yes, it's Jesus. But there's something that Jesus is saying. He's being very specific. I'm going, and someone is coming. And that one that's coming, I want you to go and wait for that one. And when that one comes, you will be baptized in fire. Come on. And praise the Lord. And you will become what? My witnesses to me and to all Jerusalem, Judea. Praise the Lord for being a witness. I'm not so concerned about being a pastor. I'm concerned about being a witness. See, if I'm a witness unto the Lord, I'm a good father. If I'm a witness unto the Lord, I'm a good husband. Come on. If I'm a witness unto the Lord, I'm a good pastor. If I'm a witness unto the Lord, I'm a good worker. If I'm a witness unto the Lord, are you with me today? If I'm a witness unto the Lord, walking into a workplace, into a place that God has called us, some of us just have to hear this. If you're working in a workplace, probably God has called you there. So you need to receive it and accept it. Maybe it's a stepping stone. Maybe you're going somewhere else. But while you're there, take advantage of while you're there, because you're his witness. So witnesses, what does the workplace say about you as a witness of Jesus Christ? What does the school say about you as a witness of Jesus Christ? What are the people around you that you're a witness say about you? Do they know you're a witness? Do they know that you're different? Do they know that you're not of the world? See, I heard a guy the other day, and I was standing away from him, and he was away, and I heard his mouth just start speaking very vulgar. I'm not going to run in there and say, hey, stop. But I'm going to him. And I'm going to him in love. Because see, the word's real clear about our witness. And I take it very serious to be a witness of Christ. And you might say, well, the brother's still working out his salvation. Yes. Praise the Lord. So let's get working on it. Let's get moving on it. Because filth and praise does not come out of the same mouth. And as long as I'm living like that, I am not a witness of anything. I'm a witness of the filth, not a witness of praise. Because people see and they hear what? Filth. Because that's what they can listen to. They don't understand praise. Praise is a weapon. Praise is going to hit them. But I can't do both. Do you hear that? And the sooner that we understand and know that we can't do both, that we need this power from Most High, that we need to receive it to allow us to have that boldness, allow us to have that strength to put down and to push down all of this stuff that's been past, that's been with me. Can you believe this? That we don't only have to deal with our things, but maybe even generations in the past? Wow. See, my dad was first generation Christian. And boy, an onslaught of his family was not saved. There was a lot of alcoholics. There was a lot. We had Frank's Brewery. We created beer. We made it. We were a brewery. We wanted to sell beer, so we created a racetrack of gambling. Yeah, that wasn't too long ago. And my dad met my mom, and my mom said something that was going to change everything. Now, if you want to be with me, you're going to have to walk down that aisle. Don't let them be with you until they walk down the aisle. Don't let them be with you until there's change in their lives. Don't let them walk down the aisle and try to pull you into the things that they're wanting to do. That's a sinful, lustful. There's nothing more beautiful in this world than a young woman or young man that live in purity. And you can do it. You can do it. We're not just living in a world that you cannot do it anymore because of pornography. And because, see, yes, there is pornography. Yes, the enemy has heated it up. Yes, it's a lot more. But it's the same old, same old, same old, same old that Adam and Eve had to deal with. And there's victory of pornography. Come on. There's victory of these things that I can. Any temptation that's going to come my way, I have the power that lives on the inside of me to turn from it. Are you with me today? See, we have to get to the place where we are his witnesses. And what we're testifying to is we're testifying to the power that's been demonstrated in our life that came and changed everything. It changed everything, didn't it, Ismo? It changed everything, didn't it, Pastor Rudy? It changed everything, didn't it? It changed everything. I am not the same. I am completely different. Continuing to change daily. So if change is not happening in your life, you have to go back to the cross where there's change at. And I'm not here to say you have or you haven't. You'll stand in front of God and he knows, and he knows alone. You know, it's not my responsibility to separate the wheat from the tare. And it shows the love of God that he will endure hardship, and he will endure division, and he will endure these things just for you, to seek and to save you. He didn't come for the well. He came for the sick. Are you with me today? I know I'm speaking a lot, but the Lord is really showing me and speaking about what God was wanting us to do and how he wants us to be disciple maker. First to be a disciple, but then to be making disciples. And the only way that we're going to make disciples is that we have to know the book, and the book has had to transform us and change us. And when I talk about the book, I talk about Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And we have to be prepared and ready that I don't get any glory. Come on. Can't you see that? Isn't that very easy to see when someone has a hard time, when they put themselves up? It's so easy to see. See, one of the things that God gave me, the Holy Spirit, when I received the Holy Spirit, I received, yes, the gift of a prayer language. I've also received really the gift of connecting with the Holy Spirit, the gift of having a comforter right on the inside of me, a gift that explains the word to me. All of these things, there's more and more, but there's gifts of the Holy Spirit and something that he gave me, and it was always on the inside of me, but he's developed in me, he's developed discernment in me. And I don't boast on that. See, because of discernment on the inside of me, I can go somewheres and I can see someone beating a child, not so much that. I could see someone, yes, in that, I'm going to call the police. I can see someone drinking alcohol and getting drunk, and the Lord's going to give me discernment of what's on the inside of that person. See, what we see is only the fruit of sin. And that's easy to see, and it's easy to point at, and it's easy to go after. You're a drunkard. You're an alcoholic. You're this. But what has created that person to move that way? And the discernment that God gives me, that's from him, it first of all allows me and lets me know that because of sin, every one of us are very equal. Are you with me today? Because of sin, every one of us are very equal. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And see, when I go and I have that discernment, because I operate in discernment of the Spirit, first of all, I have to know the veil of who I am and what my need is in Christ has been ripped away. I'm nothing without Christ. Are you with me? And then discernment shows me. I've discerned today that in this room today, and I'm going to call up here in a minute, fathers, I've discerned today that in this room, there's a huge lack, and this is discernment in the world, of fathers. And there are little young ones in here today that need a hug of a father. Only the Lord can do that supernaturally. Come on. Because many are fatherless. And that's why we have to man up. Because I don't only need to be a father to my children. I probably need to be a father to the children across the street. If their father's not there, I need to at least embrace them. I need to take them when we go get an ice cream cone. Come on. The Father will come. Our Heavenly Father will come into their lives. But what better way than them to see it through a man that loves them? Are you with me today? The Lord's asking us to be testimony in this lost and dying world. You've heard this, that the Lord spoke to me in the month of September to go out one Sunday a month and to share testimony of our family. I'm not going out trying to build a church. I'm not going out trying to receive finances. I'm going out to build His kingdom in my testimony. Amen. Well, why do you need to go out? Well, one of the reasons, because more people need to preach from the inside here. Come on. There are people sitting on the seats that are preachers. And we need to open up the pulpit for more people. Amen. Another reason I need to go out, because I need to continue to see how big God is. Something going out last week, I was so thankful for this church. Sometimes we could take for granted the freedom that we have here. Come on. And I'm so thankful that we have freedom to worship Him in any way that we can. Our testimony. We're going to be talking about this the next few weeks because we're moving into a next season. And on the lips of our mouths, the change that's been in our hearts of receiving power, we will go out and with His power, we will speak a very simple testimony, and many will come to the Lord because they will say this: if He's been able to do it in you, He can do it in me. Are you with me today? Very simple. We're not going to make this hard. So what we need to do is we need to receive the power from on high. Pastor Rufus preached last week, many of you. Receive. Praise the Lord for this brother. Amen. We need to all prepare ourselves. We need to all prepare again that we're going to be moving into going outward. Out. This body is about going out. But get ready. We're fixing to really go out. The Lord has given me pictures, and I've seen pictures, and we've seen ministries. Praise the Lord. Aaron's mom and dad are actively involved in a ministry that has something called block parties, where they actually just go into a block, like your neighborhood or on your street, and they just have a party there. They have food there. They have witnesses there. They have Jesus there. Sometimes they have a cross there. Sometimes they have worship there. You don't have to create what it's all going to be. We're just going to be witnesses to our street. Amen. And we're going to let our street know that if there's anything that happens that they need help or they need prayer, that this is the house that they can come to. It's the Lord didn't make this very hard. He made it that we have power from Most High, and we just take a step like that. Sometimes I used to just take little baby steps like, and He would meet me right there. Anybody ready for Him to just meet you right there? Anybody ready just to see their street come to the Lord? Anyone ready to see their workplace come to the Lord? Anyone really ready to see transformation in your family? Anyone really ready? Now see, Christ has been really, 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 really ready for a long time. He's looking for one of us, for us. And what if all of us were really ready to go out by our testimony? Just quickly, what's the difference between preaching and a testimony? Preaching is presenting the truth of God's word directly, but a testimony is witnessing or being a witness. Amen. God's truth is on the inside of me, And I can use scripture in my testimony, but I'm testifying that this is real. And see, people can argue with this, and they're going to argue with this, but they can't argue with what he's done in my life. They can't argue that he's pulled me out of the darkness, and the fruit of that is I don't use drugs anymore, and the fruit of that is I'm clean, and the fruit of that is look at who God's created in me. And it's not look at me, look how good I can do this, look at me, it's look at God, look at him. I'm here because of him. I'm only standing because of him. I'm alive because of him. The day he'll take me, I will fall over. It's because of him. My heart's beating because of him. I'm breathing because of him. And because I'm alive, I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be a testimony. I'll never forget, and I'll go back to what I was saying about singing unto the Lord. So many times in my life, and I'm not going to sing in front of you right now because I'm not a good singer. I heard someone say yesterday, the shower is for singing. It's got great acoustics. It's got a sound barrier. It's got drips of water. You sing your heart out. Let it rain. But in church, we all come in one voice. Come on. There was always that one lady, and they're not so much in here, but that one lady, boy, she just let her voice just go. Praise the Lord for that one lady. Boy, think about her in the singing in the shower, singing wherever she's at. Boy, she just goes for it. But that song that's on the inside of us, because of God, and because of what he's done for me, and because how he continues. Now, let me just tell you this. I'm going through a huge trial right now. Right now. I'm not here on the other side of a trial saying, hey, let's do it. I'm in the middle of one. And I'll be in the middle of one next week. And I'll be in the middle of one the next week. Because trials come my way. And I've learned, maybe not right away, but quickly, to say, I'm going to count this all joy because, God, you are moving. And somehow, some way, you're going to perfect this and people are going to be drawn to you. I'll close my natural eyes to this trial and I'll look on it with spiritual eyes. God, you're greater than this trial. I'm not going to be moved. Come on. And the only reason I can say that is because Christ sits on the inside of me. Boy, a trial used to just put me out. Before I was leading, I would sit in a trial and just pout for weeks in a trial. Why is this about? This is about me. Why are you doing this to me? Look at Joe. Joe doesn't have no trials. Come on. Look at that. Not even able to worship, not even able to be a witness, not even be able to do anything until I found out that trials are just going to come. We live in a world of sin, and trials are all around us. See, it gets difficult when the heat starts turning up. I've said this before you. I've lost flesh and blood in the war that we're involved in. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stand. Church of Living Waters is going to stand through any hurricane. We're going to stand through any move. We're going to stand through anything. And we're going to stand through revival. Come on. Our testimony. What is the Spirit of God living on the inside of you? What gifts do you have? Have you acknowledged those gifts? The gifts of prophecy. Well, we can name many of them. See, those are the things that we're going to start really speaking into you, because your gift is needed. It's going to help perfect the body. Amen. That's why we stand here and in worship. And if you have something to say, you come and speak to one of the leaders. And very quickly, we will allow the body to speak to the body. Because it's the body that's going to bring healing to each other. It's the body that has a song. It's the body that has the scripture. It's the body that has the word. Come on. If we only get where it's just one, we have to be careful, because if that one falls, then there's going to be no one. Praise the Lord. Well, this is an ongoing thing. I just kind of like go and then stop and go again. I believe that there's great timing right now in your life to be challenged to be that disciple. When I read this, I would read it and I would think, oh man, this is hard to understand. And I would go to my dad and I would say, Dad, give me a book that I can understand. And he'd look at me and he'd say, you're not going to be able to understand any of them because you need the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. I'd be like, well, so I don't even read it. No, you keep reading it because it's going to let you know how much you need the Holy Spirit. And when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, this became real to me. It became like, man, this is a mirror to me. It's speaking about me. I must be transformed. I must be changed. I must let this renew me. I must let this be my standing. Amen. A testimony. What is your testimony right now? What music are you singing? What are you speaking? Who are you a witness of? See, there'll be a day that these witnesses are going to rise again. And I believe it's now. Amen. I believe it's now. Someone told me, and I'm not picking on someone today, they're going to think this, that they go sometimes to another city to a Walmart because they know so many people at this Walmart. And I understand. It could take forever, you know? I mean, you know all these people. I'm going to Walmart. Then the line takes how long? Come on. Is anybody who works at Walmart, we love you guys. We're not against you. We're for you. I pray for you if I'm standing and there's five or six people in me because I'm asking the Lord to give me patience. And I understand those things. I understand because of direction, because of things we have to do. But there'll be a day that you're going to be able to put your foot in Walmart and people are going to know that the presence of God has just entered. Come on, into your family, into the restaurant. That's why it's important to treat the server of the restaurant well. It's important to treat people well. It's important to love people. Because see, Christ came to love people. We're just little Christ. He's asked us to love people. If you'll stand up with me today. I know that I went a little longer today. Praise the Lord. I got a little cheer section over here. Just everyone today would just bow their heads. I said something pretty serious a while ago, and I'm going to ask the Lord now to come. Because only He can do this, and He's here. We're dealing with a crisis where our children are being told lies from the world, from the enemy, especially about their identity. And they're able to look at themselves and they look like a boy, but they think in their minds they're not. That he made a mistake with me. And they're being told that you're a girl to receive it, to accept it. And they don't have a father to say no, that's a lie. Now the Heavenly Father is wanting to do that. But He wants to use fathers. What makes us a father? Yes, we have children. But anybody could be a dad. Anybody can have a child. It's pretty good. It's not a terrible experience to have a dad, to be a dad, to have a child. But it's not easy to be a father. See, a lot of times a father is not liked. A lot of times when you rise up as a father and you think about and you portray in your family a protection and you portray and you bring in your family discipleship and you do, see, not always are you going to be liked because across over there, they get to do anything they want to do. And at a party, we can do anything. Our parents leave and we can turn on anything, watch anything, do anything. That's what's fun to the world, but that's not fun. just going to ask, and I know the Lord is going to have to do this, and I'm just going to step back. If you're a father, I just want you just to come, and I want you just to stand. I'm going to ask here in a minute. It's going to be a little difficult because people are going to have to be bold. But I know the Lord is going to bring healing tonight, today. Come on, I know the Lord is going to bring healing today. Just come on right up here and stand. If you're a father, I just want you to come and stand and face the body. Just kind of spread out a little bit. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. Just before, I just want you to stretch out your hand over here. You just start praying for these guys. Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you for these fathers. God, we stand in front. God, we are in front. Father, I know, God, because I'm a father, that I've failed you and I've made many mistakes, God. But God, there's a longing in my heart to be the father that you want me to be. God, and I pray for each brother here, but God, because I know that you have them to lead. God, I know, Father, that there's not too old. I know that there's not too young here. God, I know that we're walking out into a lost and dying generation that are just dying for something, and they don't know what that is, but it's just a father that they need. And God, I just call these brothers. I call each one of them, God, to take their place again as a father. Can we just pray for just a moment? Thank you, Jesus. You know, guys, just right where you are right here, you spend a moment with God. You know I pulled you up. It might feel like, man, I kind of was made to come up. I want you just to spend a moment just unto the Lord. Just going to ask you guys, I don't know where all of you are, but it's time today that we can just align ourselves. If there's something in our life that doesn't need to be there, we just give it to the Lord right now and repent. Change our mind, because you're needed, guys. We're fixing to be opening up a men's home, and these men are going to come in and they are going to be spread out with all kinds of sin, all kinds of things. And what they're going to need more than anything, they're going to need a brother and a father. And I'm looking at the ones that God has. If you don't feel comfortable today praying for someone, I just want you just to get with the next person. Today, if you have allergies, the Lord is going to heal you. If you want prayer, I want you to come to one of these fathers, and they're going to lay hands on you. If your husband's up here, you go to your husband. Amen. So just right now, if you want healing from allergies, if that's you, and I know it could be some of the brothers too, we're going to pray for each other. But if you're here, don't feel nervous. Come, because the Lord has called it like this today. Are you here today? Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. You just pray over her. Just pray over them. Just pray over them. Just pray over them. And if your husband's up here and they're praying as a woman, you just come stand behind them if you will. It's okay. God is here today. He's working a different thing here. From the inside. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.